Jeremiah chapter 18, and the word in verse 1. And the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel. Boy, ain't that good. As it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in mine hand, O house of Israel." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need you more today than what we've ever imagined and can say. Lord, we need direction in that from the Word of God to be able to preach today. And Lord, we thank you in that for the promise that you have us and that, Lord, you're going to keep us. And Lord, it's you that makes us free. It's the Word of God that lives in our life that makes us free today. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, don't ever let us forget in that the nation that we live in and how great you have blessed her, and give us freedom in that to worship you and freedom in that to promote and to publish the gospel today. But Lord, as we now are going to preach for a little while, I pray that you'd give us unction in that from the Holy Spirit, and Lord, that you would help us to preach today, anoint us afresh, and that from heaven. You know these folk that are in front of me, you know their need today, and Lord, I pray that their needs would be met. Might be somebody that's lost and undone without you that don't know you. I pray that they'd come and get saved. Might be somebody that needs a little help. I pray that that help will be found in you. Would you please come by and help us to preach now? And we tell you that we love you. Lord, would you help us keep all hindrances far away and that from this service and keep the devil out of it? And Lord, we'll give you the glory for it all. I ask you to save that sinner to us to help. For these things in Jesus' name we do ask and pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated today. I do got to have one question that I need to ask. Zeke, you still ain't got a timekeeper anywhere, do you? All right. I was going to say I'm going to take it and shoot it if you do. Amen. I'm going to take it and shoot it. I don't know. I was telling my wife before we left the house, I thought I had a two-part message. One for this morning, one for tonight. And the more that I looked at it this morning, I kind of felt like I may preach it all. But I'm going to preach as fast as I can today. As we look in Jeremiah chapter 18, as we look at the text setting inside the context, the Lord is dealing with the nation of Israel in a rebellious condition. I mean, he brings Jeremiah down there and he begins to portray and that to the nation of Israel, how that there is a potter working with the clay upon the wheel. And how that God can do with that clay howsoever he chooses to do with it. He and that portrays the nation of Israel as that piece of clay on that wheel. And the Bible said, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. And you go on down through here and you read the rest of the chapter. And for the sake of time, the Lord tells them that he can pluck up and that he can pull down any nation in verse 7 that he chooses to. He can pronounce evil on them, or he can repent the evil in verse 8 that he'd choose to do. And if they just do right, that he would bless them. But if they continue to do wrong, he was going to end up remaking them and reshaping them in the way that he chooses. Yeah, I tell you what, they got so brazen in verse 12, and they said, "There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone to the imagination of his evil heart." Boy, I tell you, that's what our nation is saying today. We'll do as we please to do. But I want to look at this in the thought of God being the potter and the shaper of our life today. Can I say today, church, that me and and you are no more than just a piece of clay on the potter's wheel. Listen, what are we made out of today? Well, we're made out of nothing, no more than dirt, ain't we? That's all we are. God created Adam out of the dust of the earth, breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So God, we're just like that piece of clay on the potter's wheel. Now I want to preach this morning, having a thought. Now it's going to be a strange title to you understand, on being broke. When I begin to think about being broke and I begin to sit down and study, what I thought I was going to study and how I ended up in this message is two different things. And if you've ever studied your Bible or got ready for a Sunday school lesson, you'll understand that. But that word broke means to part or divide by force. And when I began to think about being broke and I thought about the potter and those things, I thought God would have me to preach on when he breaks the clay and has to put it back together. But that ain't really what God wanted me to look at today and preach on. Now listen, that word broke not only means to part or divide by force, it means to destroy or to weaken. I tell you what, the potter has the right to destroy whatever he made. He's the maker of it. He's the creator of it. And so the potter in that can do whatever he chooses to do. That word to be broke or to break means to be bankrupt. I think we know that. Many of us have probably, I won't say many of us, maybe some of us, including your preacher over the years, have been broke a time or two, amen, and couldn't even buy a candy bar and a Coca-Cola. But that word to break or to be broke also means to tame or to train to obedience. In other words, we use that saying to break a horse or to break an animal. We're going to tame them. You know, one of the things that the potter does or that the potter needs out of clay when he's got the clay on the wheel is that clay has no will of its own. That clay is broke, if you'd let me say that. That clay sitting there on the wheel, it don't turn and say to the potter, this is what I want to be or this is what I want to do. It's just a piece of clay sitting on the wheel waiting on the potter to do what it needs to do. And so we find today that, friend, that we ought to be broke in our will when it comes to serving God. Now can I tell you that he will break you if you want to continue in sin. Listen, you look at the prodigal son in Luke 15. He got all the way to the hog pen. He was not only broken physically, but he was broken morally. He was broken spiritually. Listen, he come home with nothing. And friend, that's where God will get you to if you want to do your own will. And he'll do the sinner the same way. If you look at Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9, he broke him out there on the road to Damascus so that he might save him. And so, you know, for all of us to get saved, we had to become broken, didn't we? But I want to preach having that thought on being broke. Number one, I am being broke. Can God use us? Let me say that first of all, that we ought to have a will that is usable for the work of the Lord. That if you look, go back to the text verse, after the Lord sent Jeremiah down there, and in verse 3, the Bible said, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. The potter is the one that is doing the work today. I don't know who created this bowl. My wife got it. This was a present from your sister, wasn't it? You all went to an art fair, and this is rough on the outside. And it's smooth on the inside. They've glazed it and they baked it in the kiln. But this thing is porous and it's rough on the outside. And when my wife brought it in, I looked at that, and it's a little misshapen. If you look at the shape of it, the paint ain't perfect. And I looked at that bowl, and I thought to myself, man, that is one of the ugliest things I've ever seen in my life. Now, hopefully my sister-in-law won't listen to the broadcast. I hope not. We may have to edit that part out if I know she's going to listen. But I begin to think about this bowl when I begin to study and I begin to look at it. You know, something, the thing about this bowl is it's made just like the potter wanted it to be made. When the potter got it up off the wheel, misshapen, with no glaze on the outside, it's not pretty looking on the outside, it's plain on the outside, but listen, it's made just like the potter wanted to make it. As a matter of fact, I've not heard this bowl say anything about how it was made. This bowl ain't said, hey, I'm a little misshapen. This bowl ain't said, hey, boy, I wish I was painted on the outside. This bowl ain't said, boy, ain't I ugly looking. Hey, listen, the work is done by the potter. Can I tell you today that God's got a work that He's trying to do in your life? And this clay, when it was being made, it didn't tell the potter how to shape it. It didn't tell the potter in that, hey, this is how you need to do it. This is how it needs to get done. But that clay was just moldable in the hands of the potter. You know why? That clay was broke, wasn't it? It was tameable. It was usable in that in the hand of the potter. Can I ask you today, are me and you tameable and usable in the hand of the potter? See, the Bible said right here that he done what? That he wrought a work on the wheel. Hey, it was the potter's work and that to be done. Listen, it's not our decision to decide the work that God wants us to do. Listen, I've been preaching for over half my life. I wouldn't know what else to do. But I'm going to tell you, when God called me to preach, I didn't know how. I still don't know how. It's because of His work. Hey, I didn't know nothing about preaching. I didn't know nothing about pastoring no church. When I come, I thought I did, but I didn't. When I come down here, and hey, the work is God's work today. No matter what you're doing for Him, it's His work. But the thing about it is when we first get saved and He begins to work on us and He molds us and He's trying to shape us to turn us into something that He can use. And He needs that clay and that to be moldable and to work on. But you know what it said right here? It said that what? That the vessel that He made of clay was marred. You ever watch the potter? I take that clay that's on the wheel and somewhere along the way something happens, whether it swings wide or whether it mars up in his fingers. That clay didn't do what he wanted it to do. And so he takes his hand and he just dumps it right back down on itself and he begins to reshape. And you know what he does to us after we get saved and his will don't get done the way that it needs to be done in our life? Sometimes he'll just start all over with us again and he begins to shape us and mold us again. And he begins to work on us. I'll be honest with you, I've never sat down at a potter's wheel, but I've watched them many times. And watch them make bowls and cups and all kinds of things. I was going to get some Play-Doh, which is probably a good thing. If you give the preacher any Play-Doh, there ain't no telling it's being the carpet and everything else. But me and Brother Jeff, we went on visitation Thursday night. And we went to a place, had two young'uns, and we sitting there visiting, and they just made us stuff out of Play-Doh. And I wanted to bring it to the preacher and to the deacon and they made Jeff one first. I got a little jealous. I'll be honest with you. The preacher likes to get stuff. I'll be honest with you. Whether it's just a little old heart made out of Play-Doh about that big around, I tell you. But you know what? They were working that stuff into the shape that they wanted it. Why? Well, they were the potter, wasn't they? Can I tell you today, God's the potter of your life if you're saved. And you're letting Him be the potter of your life. You're to let Him be able to work on you as that wheel spins and He takes both hands and puts on that thing and begins to shape it. If you look on the outside of this bowl real close after church, you can see the imprints of where the potter let his hands drag
right around through there. You can see it all. You can see the stripes that was used. You know, everywhere on the outside of us, folk ought to be able to see God in our life. I can see the touch of the potter in this bowl right here. Can I ask you today, when folk look at you, can they see the touch of the potter in your life? Can they see the touch of Him where He's shaped you over the years, that He's molded you to be in His will? He's molded you into the shape that He wants you to be in. David in Psalms chapter 25, listen, I believe he was honestly trying to follow the hands of the potter. And he said, lead me in thy truth and teach me. He said again in Psalms 27, teach me thy way, O Lord, lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Can I ask you today, just as sure as that clay has to yield unto the work of the potter, are we yielding to the work of the potter? Now, I'm just talking about being a piece of clay right now and Him shaping us. He said, what could He be shaping us for? I don't know, friend. I don't know what He could be shaping in your life for. I know this. He still calls men to preach. He still wants folk in that to teach Sunday school. He still wants in that folk to witness. But you know, He just may be shaping you in that to be the best Christian that you can be. But He shapes on us. And so He starts out with a piece of clay, and that clay has to yield. And you know what that word yield means? To give up or to submit. That clay has to submit to the work of the potter. Jesus, when He was fixing to go to Calvary in Luke 22, He said, Father, if it be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That ought to be our prayer. You know, even if we get to the point where it's something we don't want to do, or it's some way that we don't want to be shaped, say, Lord, this ain't what I want. If that's what You want, that's what we're going to do. I may not understand why You're wanting me to do what You want me to do, but if that's what You want, then that's what I'm going to do. James 4:7 said, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Our will is still in us, even though that the potter's got us on the wheel, and even though the potter's working on us, and it's our will that gives us trouble. You know, a lot of people think that when they get saved that everything's going to be fine, that they're going to serve Jesus out of the best of their ability, and that's a great thought to have, and it's a great thing to do. But friend, I'm going to tell you, you're still dragging your old man around with you. And it wants to do what it wants to do. And you've got to get it under control. And that's one thing that God is trying to work on us. Galatians 5 says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. The clay knows what the potter's wanting, but sometimes it just refuses to do what it needs to do. And so the potter starts all over again. And he begins to shape, and he begins to make, and he begins to mold to do what he needs to do. You know something you need to understand today? God's just working on you to get you into His will, to look like what you need to look like today for Him. I know that He don't call every man to preach. I know that He don't make a Sunday school teacher out of everybody, but He does have a will for your life. Hey, the Bible talks about in the book of Ephesians, I believe it is over there, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. He does have a will for your life. Hey, it may not to be a bowl. It may not to be a mug. There ain't no telling what God's got in store for your life. But you need to be moldable and shapeable. Then you know what He does. Number two, once the potter begins to get the basic shape of what he wants, and boy, this is where it gets real good at, then he begins to work on those little fine things. He begins to work on, maybe there's a little wrinkle in there somewhere that needs to be smoothed out. Maybe there's a little problem over here, a little indention. Maybe it's a little out around, like that one right there. And so he says, I'm going to work on that a little more. Boy, I feel where the potter put her. I believe it was a woman that made that, wasn't it? You don't know, do you? All right, we'll just keep calling it the potter. Amen. But I tell you, can look and see where the potter's had her hands, or see, he's had his hands right there in that one where it's out around right there. That's just amazing to me.
You can see everywhere the potter's been. But he begins to detail on the piece of clay. He begins to purge out what don't need to be in there. I'm talking about him working on us, you see. Talking about the potter working on us and trying to break us and get us to a place to where he can use us. See, as just a piece of clay, we're not really usable, are we? Well, we're still on the wheel, ain't we? See, right now, that bowl can be used, but it's ready to be used. And the thing about, I was going to talk about this at the end, but the funny thing about how God does us is he gets us to a place where he can use us and he continues to work on us at the same time. And I don't understand that, but that's how it works. But he begins to detail us. And you know what that word detail means? My wife will tell you, I don't pay attention to a lot of details about things. Now, if I ever start paying attention to details, you better watch out. Because you're never going to get me to get off of it when I start paying attention to details. But she'll tell you, I don't pay attention to a lot of the details. I look at the big picture and roll on. But listen, the potter, after he gets the shape, he begins to pay attention to the details. The Bible talks about in John chapter 15, Jesus told his disciples over there, I am the true vine and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So he begins to purge and to work on that tree that it brings forth more fruit. He begins to cut out things that don't need to be in there. You know what that word purge means? It means to cleanse or to purify by separating or cutting off whatever is impure. And so God, as he keeps working on us, and he works on us by the word of God, he works on us by the preached word of God, he works on us by the taught word of God, and so he begins to want you to cut things out of your life. It may be friends that you have that you should not have. It's going to lead you down the wrong path. Young people, do I ever encourage you to pay attention to who your friends are? You need to be very careful who you make friends with, because they're going to lead you astray. Maybe it's some habits that's in our life that needs to be cut out, that does not bring glory in that to the Lord. I remember I was sitting in a... it's been years ago. I was sitting in an auto shop, and a buddy of mine owned it, and sitting in there, and I was filling in for him where he went to church at. And I was sitting in there smoking a big Marlboro, and he went to introduce me to somebody, and he said, this is our preacher right now. And he said, well, what's he doing smoking that cigarette? That's the first words out of his mouth. Not, hey, how you doing? Not glad to meet you. But hey, what's he doing? Smoking that cigarette. I feel about that dog. I'm just telling you, there's some things that God, after he gets us in the shape that he wants us in, he begins to work out the details and begins to take off the rough edges, you see. He begins to smooth us out. Hey, it may be a habit. Hey, maybe it's some things you're watching on TV. Maybe it's some music you listen to on the radio. Maybe it's what you're reading. I don't know. Maybe it's some things you like to do that you shouldn't do. And God has spoke to you about them and wants you to clear them up and quit them. You know what he's doing? He's just trying to smooth you out. And he's paying attention to the details. He's got the shape of you that he wants, and now he's starting to detail your life, and he's wanting to smooth you out as smooth as he can get you. You say, well, that don't look too smooth on the outside yet, but boy, that's just as slick as a ribbon on the inside. And boy, he's got it just the way that he wants it. We may not have, you know, we may not appear smooth to everybody. But again, ever who made that bowl right there, the potter made it just the way that they wanted it. And so there's some things that needs to get purged out of our life. And you know, I'll be honest with you, he expects us to do some of that.
You know, if you go over and you look, and I believe it is in the book of 2 Timothy. Let me get over here in the book of 2 Timothy. He tells us, he said, but in a great house there is not only vessels of gold and silver, but of wood and of earth, and of some of honor and some of dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared to every good work. If you read the rest of the text, you'll find out what you need in that to be purge out of your life those youthful lusts, those things that are not going to benefit in the Christian life. He said, if you'll purge them out, you'll be a useful vessel. And so he begins to work and begins to smooth. And he does it as, if you look, and the Bible said in verse 4, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Not as it seemed good to the clay, but as it seemed good to the potter to make it. And so he begins to shape us, and then he begins to detail us. Shaping's one thing, but boy, I tell you, when he begins to detail, it begins to get tough. Because then he's starting to take out that little stuff. That little stuff. Are we even concerned about the little stuff? I'm concerned about the little stuff. I mean, hey, listen, David said, cleanse me thou from my secret faults. I mean, even maybe some of that stuff that I've not seen, Lord, some of that stuff I've not paid attention to, I cleanse me from that stuff, and I'll get right with you. And you know the next thing that the potter does when he takes that piece of clay and he shapes it and he gets it the way that he wants it? Then the potter begins to put the heat to it. And boy, here's you think that being shaped was hard. Wait till the heat gets put on. Hey, the Bible talks about in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But we think when trials and heat gets put on, we think that it's a strange thing that it would come our way. As I sat down and I looked at how they apply the heat to pottery, they don't apply heat, real hot heat, to start with. Because even though there is most of it's dry by the time, the potter will set it up and let it dry, but by the time that they get it over there to the kiln, to the oven, to fire it, there's still water in there. And if they get it above 212 degrees Fahrenheit, you know what will happen? That water that's embedded down in that clay, it'll flash off as steam and blow that pottery apart. And so, do you know that the Father in heaven is the same way? Listen, He don't shape us up and then get us ready and detail us and then all of a sudden throw the heat on right away, does He? Well, we'd give up, wouldn't we? Well, we'd quit if we just got saved and He shaped on us and He detailed us and then all of a sudden tomorrow He just opened all the legions of hell against us and we'd just quit, wouldn't we? We'd blow apart. But you know what the potter does? He takes that and he lets it dry and then he puts it in the kiln and then he lets it set there under just a little bit of heat to get that water out of there. So that when the heat really gets applied to where the bowl, see, we're still trying to get somewhere to where we can be used, ain't we? See, the bowl ain't ready to use yet. You understand? The bowl ain't ready to be used. See, we think when the potter gets done on the wheel, that's all of it. But listen, trials begin to come in our life. It's just a little in here and a little in there. And sometimes maybe getting rid of them habits and Him detailing us applies a little heat to ourselves. Amen. And then sometimes we find those folk that don't like us simply because we've and that said that we're a Christian and they mock us and ridicule us. Listen, the heat gets applied just a little bit. You know, after that piece of pottery sets in that kiln for just a little bit of time and the water content has went down and they're pretty sure that it's ready to be fired. But that thing gets fired, regular earthen clay pottery gets fired to around 2200 degrees. That's hot. Porcelain gets fired at 2500 degrees. That's real hot. Up there in Nick's shop when they heat treat metal, and they put it in the oven, that thing will run up. The hottest they've got, that oven will go, is 2,200 degrees. And I've been up there when they fired it at 2,200 degrees. And that is some more heat at 2,200 degrees. So the Lord, He gets us shaped and He gets us detailed. And see, without the heat being put on, then we're just not really ready. And that for the use of the Lord. If you go back and you look in 1 Peter chapter 1, the Bible talks more about in that the trial of our faith. He says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more than precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found of the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you seem not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Sometimes the heat gets put on when He hides Himself. Sometimes, has God ever hid Himself on you? He has on me. More than once has He hid Himself. Well, you go over to Job chapter 23, you'll find, I think, around verse 9 and 10, Job just wanting to know where God's at. Well, if there's ever a man that God had molded and shaped, and the Bible said that he was a just and upright man, he eschewed that which was evil, he was a righteous man, and God had molded him the way He wanted him. And then you know what happened? God put the heat on him, didn't He? God put the heat on him. Job done what in that first day after Satan come back from the Lord? And what do we find? We find that Job lost everything that he owned. He lost all his animals. He lost his finances. Boy, then here comes another one. I come running up. I and said, there's a whirlwind come out of the nowhere. I and struck the house where all your children was and killed them. Boy, you're talking about heat getting put on. I mean, Job has lost everything. He's lost all his animals. He's lost his money. He's lost his children. He's lost it all. And still the Bible said, as he's sitting down there in sackcloth and ashes, that he's worshiping God. God's put the heat on. And if that wasn't enough, Satan comes back and says, yea, skin for skin. Said, you take his health and he'll curse you. Even his wife come out there after God had allowed Satan to smote him from the crown of his head to the bottom of his foot with boils and sores. You'll find out that his wife come out there and said, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die? And he said, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speak. Job has lost his fortune. He's lost his family. He's lost his wife. He's lost his health. And then his three friends show up. And they sit out there for 7 days in sackcloth and ashes where he's at, or at least he's got them on. And they don't say nothing. And on the eighth day, they begin to tell Job that he wasn't right with God because of what happened. Job's lost his friends. And here he sits thinking that God has deserted him and wished that he had never been born and wished that God would have never let him see the light of day. And all God was doing was he had got done shaping Job and he was a putting the heat on. Boy, I hope the heat never comes my way that much. I'm just being honest. You ought to go back and read all 42 chapters of Job. By the way, there's 42 chapters in Job. Job's tribulation book. Amazing that it's got 42 chapters in it. There's 42 months in the tribulation period. I'll give you something to chew on. I want you to take your Bible and go with me to Job 23. I've preached out of this here and preached out of it in revival. But I want you to look in Job 23.
He said, then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. He said, oh, that I could find God. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, he is not there and backward, but I cannot perceive him on the left hand where he doth work. Boy, I love to preach that message out of verse 9. Well, you can see God working over there on the left hand side, but he ain't doing nothing for you. The Bible said, he hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job understood that he was just a piece of clay in the potter's hands. He said, when he hath tried me. First of all, he said, he knoweth the way that I take. The potter knows. The potter knows. The clay may not know. You go back and you look in the book of Jeremiah and you'll find another time when he talks about the potter and the clay. Does the potter say back to the clay, you've not made me? Well, but the heat gets put on. He got put on in Job's life. He got put on in the psalmist David's life. You can read Psalms 42 and you can find where he just wanted to find God. God had disappeared. You say, why does God just disappear? Why does God hide himself? Why does God just seem like that he takes himself away so that you can't feel him? Because he just wants you to trust him. He just wants you to trust that book in what he said. It's true. Even when you can't feel him, he's still there. Job said, I can't find him. I can't feel him. He's disappeared. But do know one thing. He knows the way that I take. When you can't find him and you can't feel him, you remember, he knows the way you're going. He's got you. Listen, if you're saved today, he's just working on you. And he applies the heat to get you to where he can use you. Now, I don't know if that thing's dishwasher safe or not. My wife's over here shaking her head, no. It don't look too good on the outside, does it? Not in my eyes. You may say, boy, that's the prettiest thing I've ever seen. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. But if you look, you can see every stripe that was made by the potter when they laid their hand there. And you can see how they shaped, and it got a little thicker over here when they shaped and let a little ridge come up. You know, God makes all of us different, don't he? And he makes different things for different work and does it a little different. But boy, ain't that a whole lot prettier on the inside than it is on the outside? Ain't that pretty on the inside? He said, well, you know, I could have done a better job than that. Not according to the potter, you couldn't have. Potter made that just the way they wanted it made. He said, well, I wouldn't have left him splotches there in that paint and left it thick, but that's the way the potter wanted it. See, there's a lot of times we'd say, boy, if I was God, I'd have done this a little different, and I'd done that a little different, or boy, I sure wouldn't have done this, or called him to preach, or boy, let her teach Sunday school, or give them that voice to sing, or you know. It's amazing how God just uses people. You don't have to be a preacher or Sunday school teacher for God to use you. That's what's amazing. That's what's amazing. But you know, on the inside, what's God done for you on the inside? See, the Pharisees' problems was they'd pretty up the outside. But what was on the inside was just vile and excess, the Bible tells us. And so the potter, he applies the heat and he gets that piece of pottery ready to be used. And so when the potter got done with this bowl, me and my wife can use it. Whatever we want to put in it, we can put in it. It's ready to be used. But if somewhere along the line, if that thing ever talked to me, I'd be worried. And I thought about bringing it. She'd wire me out if I brought a hammer and broke that thing. But you know what happens? God gets us in a place where He wants us to be used, and He can use us. And after the heat gets put on, and trials come, and we just got to believe God and trust Him. And then the potter wants to use us. Like I say, it's a funny thing how the potter in heaven, he puts the heat on, but he still keeps shaping us at the same time. But then in Jeremiah chapter 19, he tells Jeremiah to take a piece of clay down there, take a piece of pottery. And he says, I want you to go down there and I want you to preach for the nation of Israel. And when you get down to verse 11, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people in this city as one breaketh a potter's vessel, that it cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them in Tophet till there is no place to bury. God was telling him, he said, you go down there and you tell the nation of Israel, if they're not going to obey, then I'm just going to break them. And they're not going to be used again. The funny thing about the Lord is sometimes when He breaks people, He breaks them, but He still allows them to be used. If I took a hammer, I just might knock a chunk out of the side of this thing. It's not whole. It's not the way the potter intended to use it. When I sat down and I thought about this message and thought about this bowl and thought about how the potter works, I can remember a preacher that run and wouldn't submit and back to the calling of the Lord. And on this weekend, if I ain't mistaken, 4th of July weekend, him and one of his buddies was going to go pick up some women and got to drinking, and he was running from the call to preach, and God just put him in a car wreck. And after he came out of that car wreck, he couldn't barely walk. His speech was slurred. But after that, he done all he could for the Lord. But do you think he done as good as he could have if he would have just submitted when he was a good piece of clay? You think God was able to use him as much as he could have over the years if he would have just done what God wanted him to do, just yielded himself? I remember the first time I ever met him when I was just a boy. He was one of my preacher's brothers. And I remember he would sing and he would preach. But God had broke him to make it happen. He said right here to the nation of Israel, he said, I'll break you and you won't be whole again. So you know what God will do? If you want to run far enough and still won't submit, then God will just take the hammer and He'll break you to pieces. And He'll sweep up the pieces and He'll put them on a shelf. You know what He'll do? He'll let the rest of the pottery look at you. God don't sweep up the pottery that's broke and throw it away. He sets it on a shelf. And He lets all of us look at it. As a warning, what's going to happen? Listen, are you doing what the Lord wants you to do this morning? I mean, are you doing what you need to do? Are you letting God work in your life? Letting Him make you the way that He needs to make you? If not, why don't you just get broke and let God work on your life? Let's bow our heads across the house this morning. Let's get us a verse of invitation, fellas. Listen, I've been a little long this morning, but don't let that hinder you from doing business with God and God trying to do something in your life. I want you to listen to me. Are you a piece of clay that God's not able to do anything with? Are you a piece of clay that is just not submitting and not yielding to the potter's will? Are you a piece of clay that, boy, is broke and just letting God work on you however He needs to work on you? It seems like the older we get sometimes, the harder we get, church. Let's not be that way. Hey, listen to me, young people. Submit yourself to the work of God. Let him work on you. Older people, let him still work on you. We get to a place where we think God's done with us, or that we get satisfied being a bowl that's been glazed and been worked on and God's using us. Hey, but listen, how much more could God use us if we just let him? If we just let him. How about it? Don't buck up on the Lord. Let him work on your life. Let him detail. You say, boy, he's detailed me and worked on me. And the heat's been poured on me. You may be in the heat right now trying to get out of it. But friend, I tell you what, just remember he's there and he'll see you through it. And when you come out on the other side, you're going to be a usable vessel for the potter's use. It ain't no enjoyment right now. I'll be honest with you. It ain't a bit of enjoyment being in the trial of life. There's none there. But friend, I'll tell you right now, I tell you right now, it's just to harden you up and get you ready for the work of the Lord. Don't get to the place to where you buck up on him and say no, because he's going to find the hammer and he's going to break you, friend. Heavenly Father, would you help right now during this invitation? Lord, I preach what you give me to preach. Now, Lord, I pray that it was a blessing to your people and a help to your people. But, Lord, I pray that if these folk not yielding to your will, that they'll do that today. Lord, if there's somebody here that needs to get saved and not yielding to your will and salvation, I pray they'd be saved today. Just help during this invitation. For these things in Jesus' name.